Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hawk Blogger Mornings. I am Brian Nemhauser. You can find me and all that we do here at Hawk Blogger on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the places. And playoffs are here for the Seahawks, folks. Here we start after a week of kicking back, enjoying a break, relaxing, rejuvenating, all the good stuff, because it's not just players and coaches that need a little recovery time. Fans do as well, and it was nice. This weekend, we got to watch everybody else stress and go through those games, and now it's our turn. The Seattle Seahawks will face the San Francisco 49ers for a third time this Saturday. Do not know yet exactly when. It could be 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. It could be 5 p.m. Pacific time. We will find out after the Monday night football game tonight, because the NFL likes to hold on to every little bit of ratings that they can. And my guess, just a guess, I think the Seahawks will be the late game. That's my guess. But you know what? Who knows? We'll find out together. Cannot wait to talk to you guys about this matchup. We're going to be blowing it out this week. I've already told you we're going to have Brett Coleman back. We're going to have Brian Baldinger back. We're going to have Jeffrey Dean Morgan back. We're going to have, obviously, Matt Hassel back. I'm sure we'll have Grant Cohen as well. We'll have Dave Bowling and Mike Sando. I'm 99% sure we're going to have Mina Kimes trying to finalize the time there. I'm working on one more that would be a pretty special ad as well. So tons of great stuff coming for you guys this week. I will forgive you all. It's okay that we did not win the Golden Globe for Best Podcast. It's okay. We haven't won any awards for Best Podcast, even in, you know, we won a long time ago. Way back there, there's a little plaque for like Best Podcast in Western Washington back in like 2013. I don't know when it was. It was a long time ago. But yeah, if you ever want to nominate us for award, we'll be happy to take that. So either way, we've got a lot coming for you this week. Going to take care of you. And I woke up just feeling like, let's go. Let's go. Like the Seahawks are going to face the 49ers third time in a season. They've split the season series. And as of right now, the odds for this game are 7 to 7.5 in favor of the Seahawks. It's a big spread. It's a big spread. So one of the things I'm going to walk you all through, because I was curious, and I'm guessing you guys might be as well. What's the history of that? What can history tell us about this game? We're going to look at it in the sense of how have number one seeds done in the divisional round? We're going to look at it in terms of, what about number one seeds that are favored by this much? What about, teams that have to face the same team three times? How has that gone? We're going to look at it in a few different ways to kind of give us a little bit of an amuse-bouche for the week. We're not going to get all the way into first look, which we'll do on Wednesday, and get into the deep dive between the two teams. We're going to kind of familiarize ourselves with kind of how these games have gone for other teams in this situation and kind of get a feel. We'll obviously talk about how the Seahawks have done and 49ers as well. One little taster for you as we get off the schneid here for Hawk Blogger Mornings. The San Francisco 49ers have not been road underdogs in the playoffs by this many points, 7 or more points, since 1984. That was the last time the 49ers were 7 point or greater road underdogs in the playoffs. And it was actually the 1983 season, if you want to really be honest. It was 1984 when it happened, but it was the 1983 season, just like it's the 2025 season, but it is technically calendar year 2026 right now. So in that game, the 49ers were traveling to what was then the Washington Redskins. And they were 10-point underdogs in that game with Bill Walsh facing Joe Gibbs. Hall of Fame matchup. The 49ers lost that game. They lost that game 24-21. Sounds very close, and it was, but only because The 49ers outscored the Redskins 21-3 in the fourth quarter. It had been 21-0 at one point in this game. And ultimately, the 49ers fell. But they did cover the spread. And that's probably worth noting as, you know, people are trying to figure out, like, how to feel about this game. How do you feel about this game? I will tell you my early feelings going into this. I don't think it's likely that the Seahawks will hold the 49ers to the lowest point total and the lowest yardage totals and all the stuff that in like Kyle Shanahan's coaching career, head coaching career. I don't think that's likely to happen twice. It doesn't mean that they won't play well against the 49ers offense, but let's look at the other two games that they played before this last game. One, the first game of the season, 49ers scored 17 points in that game. Took a late touchdown for them to even get to 17, but they did. And then the game before that was in San Francisco last season. 49ers scored 17 points in that game as well. So I think it's reasonable to expect the 49ers to score 10 to 20 points in this game. They scored 23 in beating the Eagles yesterday. And I think the Seahawks are a better defense. I know the Seahawks are a better defense than the Eagles defense. So yeah, let's see, you know, what that looks like. But I do think the 49ers will score more than 3 points. I think that's a reasonable thing to expect. I also think that the Seahawks are going to score a lot more than 13 points. I think that the offense gained a lot of confidence in that last game. I think that they are going to benefit from playing the same team twice in a row in this case. And let's get to some of the other news around this. The Seahawks will be adding back Charles Cross to the lineup. They will, I think, likely be adding Elijah Arroyo back to the lineup. They will be adding probably Kobe Bryant back to the lineup. Their running backs are, you know, going to be as fresh as they've been since the beginning of the season. So all that's good stuff. The 49ers, they will not have George Kittle, who ruptured his Achilles tendon, unfortunately, in that Eagles game. He's gone not only for the rest of this year, but his season next year is at least in question for when he will be back for that team. So the hits keep coming for the 49ers. They also lost Jair Brown, their starting safety, to a hamstring injury. Very unlikely you get back from a hamstring injury. Kyle Shanahan was clear about that in the postgame press conference that he'd be, you know, unlikely he'd be back this week. That means rookie Marcus Siegel would step in for him as he did yesterday. Marcus Siegel's a good player. He's a very athletic player. And I think played some decent ball for the 49ers, but there's a reason that Jair Brown had won that job over him. It is worth noting that Siegel actually took the snaps in the first game of the season against these two teams and played reasonably well in that game. I thought he played really well yesterday against the Eagles. So 49ers, you know, continue to get hit by injury. They will have Trent Williams, most likely, unless there's any kind of regression in his hamstring. Trent Williams didn't play great yesterday. He didn't play terribly, but he was, you know, he was not a dominant player. And, you know, I think there's also some moments that Christian McCaffrey looked like he was a little worse for the wear in that one. I think the other really big open question injury wise for the 49ers is Ricky Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall is their best receiving threat. And has been a difference maker for them, was not close enough to even go through a pregame workout yesterday. He like re-injured his PCL at some point. Unclear whether he's going to be a guy that, you know, tries to go in this game, but he would be a big addition. He wouldn't quite totally cancel out the George Kittle loss, but close. I mean, generally, there's definitely been a difference when Ricky Pearsall's been in there for the 49ers. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. If you're wondering about Fred Warner, well, sorry, I'm going back and forth with my potential guest, and he's giving me crap. So I appreciate him very much. And I'm really hoping this works out. It would be so fun. In fact, I'm looking at some messages. Sorry to be distracted. So here's the thing. If you're wondering about Fred Warner, he is not going to be back for this game. Kyle Shanahan was pretty clear about that last night. Post game, really unlikely. I think it's still pretty unlikely, even if the 49ers somehow were to make it to the conference championship, that Fred Warner would play. But, you know, who knows? And hopefully from a Seahawks perspective, we never find out. So that's kind of the injury news and notes. There's another storyline here that I want to let people into the behind the scenes of a little bit. So I wasn't confident that the NFL would put the Seahawks game against the 49ers on Saturday, because the 49ers played on Sunday and both the Rams and the Bears played on Saturday. What does that mean? It means that you could have had the Seahawks play on Sunday against the 49ers, and then the 49ers, Rams, and Bears would all be operating on 7 days rest, which is equitable, right? Like, on that level, it makes sense. To have one team, the 49ers, have one fewer day rest while they're coming back from a road trip feels a little less equitable, and then giving the Rams and the Bears an extra day rest feels a little less equitable. So that, like, you're going to hear that from a lot of 49ers fans. You're going to hear that from a lot of media people. I've seen incredible media people that cover the 49ers really up in arms about this. Here's the truth. Make sure you share it with anybody who needs to hear it. The number one seed plays on Saturdays. Both number one seeds play on Saturdays. It is a benefit of being the number one seed. This has been a NFL essentially routine, tradition, custom for years. And the reasoning behind that is because if you moved the number one seed, either number one seed, to Sunday, then you're actually giving a lower seed potentially extra rest for the conference championship. What does that mean? If this, let's just look at it with the way it is right now. The Seahawks and the Broncos, both number one seeds, play on Saturday. If they win, the conference championship will be the following Sunday. All right? So you'll get 8 days rest. That's great. If the winner of the Rams-Bears game will have one less day rest, it's an advantage. But guess what? That's what being the number one seed gets you, advantages. And so it doesn't make sense that a lower seed would get that advantage. They didn't earn it. They didn't win more games. They didn't win the division. So heavy is the head that wears the crown. The Seahawks get this advantage, not only with the bye, but with potentially an extra day of rest for the conference championship. It's good to be king. Like, it is. So that's the reasoning. And if the 49ers and their reporters and other folks don't like that, I got news for you. Win the frickin' home game in your stadium in week 18 against this team, and you would be getting this benefit. In fact, you did get this benefit not that long ago against, I believe, the Packers, when you were the number one seed hosting the divisional. So, you know, I can't say that there's any big conspiracy theory here, or that the 49ers are being mistreated. They're being treated like the sixth seed. You want better treatment? Win more games, really, honestly. So just a couple thoughts there for you on that, because I know that that's going to be coming up. We are getting some news, Rams-related news, just in case you're curious. Sean McVay said that they're optimistic that Kevin Dotson, their right guard, will play against the Bears. That would be a really, really big get for the Rams. I will note that the Rams are going to be traveling to Chicago, and as of now, the predicted temperatures are in the single digits for that game. Now, I generally believe the Rams are going to absolutely wipe the field with the Bears, but you never know. You never know. crazier things have happened. That's, I think, like most of the kind of news in and around this game, and just a little bit of information about why the schedule is the way it is. You might notice my lovely beanie here. I love this beanie. I'm going to be wearing this a lot. I got this at Simply Seattle. You can get one too. SimplySeattle.com. Use promo code HawkBlogger15. That will get you 15% off all your Seahawks gear, Mariners, Huskies, whatever Seattle sports gear you want to see. You can get it at SimplySeattle.com using promo code HawkBlogger15. Lots of great gear. Also, I love this JSN sweatshirt. It's awesome. I wear it all the time. It's kind of like you're going to see this a lot on the pod because it is super cozy. Get one of those. If there's still any left, they're pretty short supply, but feel free to grab those. And then another thing I wanted to alert people to that are trying to get tickets for this game. I keep getting questions. HBTix.com. You can go there, get tickets for this game. Let's get as many tickets in Seahawks fans' hands as possible. And just a really quick reminder here, the best way to, like, I have a read this section where I give you all the tips for and best practices for how to make sure, one, you avoid selling your tickets to opposing fans, and two, how to avoid scams, both as a buyer and a seller. So make sure you read that. I put thought into it. I did a lot of research. It's there to protect you. But buy your tickets as soon as possible. They're just going to get more expensive with the 49ers fans trying to buy them up. And I see people that are signing up at patreon.com/hawkblogger to be verified, which is great. And that's a really good way to help the process. But you have to be a paying member. A free trial member will not show up as a verified member. So if you are signing up for that purpose, make sure you are a paid member at patreon.com/hawkblogger. in order to get verified, and the system will automatically pick that up. All right. Let's talk about some stuff related to how teams in this situation have done. I've got all sorts of different data. I'm going to be like jumping around different places. Let's start with this. Where did it go? So I did some digging into how teams have done when they are the number one seed. Let's just start with that. Number one seed in the divisional round. And if you really want to cut it, I think it's best to look since 1990 when they expanded playoff teams, the playoff field, to 12 teams. So there, it's a little bit more, I think, evident of the benefit of the bye, really like what a bye week looks like. Okay. Since 1990, the number one seed, has gone 74-26 in the playoffs. Okay. Sorry. This is the all time record. Excuse me. This is all time, not since 1990, 74-26. But since 1990, the NFC number one seed, I don't know why this would be any different, but the NFC's number one seed has gone 27-7 in the divisional round, an 80% win rate. That's not 100%, but an 80% win rate. AFC, for whatever reason, is a little lower, 22-12, 65% win rate. So a pretty significant difference between AFC number one seeds and NFC number one seeds. Okay. But, let's take a look at what some of those outcomes have been, including what are the situations when they haven't won. We're going to stare the worst case scenario in the face and familiarize ourselves with it. And like, you don't have to go back far. You could go back last year to the 15-win Detroit Lions facing off against the Washington Commanders, who had won, I think, 12 games over the course of the season. And the Lions dropped this game They dropped this game to the Commanders 45-31. Now, it was a 31-28 game. It was a 3-point game at the end of three quarters. If you look at how this game was lost, it's not hard to find. The Lions had five turnovers, and took zero away from the Commanders. It is not often that you can win a game when you lose the turnover battle 5-0. So that was a big part of that game for why they lost. Jared Goff threw for a bunch of yards, had one touchdown, but was intercepted 3 times. He also fumbled once. So he had 4 turnovers by himself. Not good. They also had a trick play. Jameson Williams, the wide receiver, threw an interception as well. So, yep, not great. Not great if you want to win. And let's be honest, turnovers are the bugaboo for the Seahawks. Well, so I went back to a few other losses in this situation. And we'll kind of get to those in a second. Well, let me get to those here. So another, is this one of the ones? Let me make sure I got the right ones here. I'm going to limit here to number one overall seeds that were favored by 7 points or more. Okay. So this is a situation where you've got not just the number one seed, but you're heavily favored in the divisional round. Okay. In those games, the number one seed is 31-8, 80% win rate. Again, not 100%, 80. And in those games, 5 of the 8 upsets is a better way of saying it, have happened since 2010, including that Lions game I just mentioned. Let's take a look at those losses. So one of them was that Commanders upset over the Lions. The next most recent was 2019, when the Baltimore Ravens blew a game against the Tennessee Titans. This was John Harbaugh against Mike Vrabel, as a matter of fact. And the Ravens were 10-point favorites. They had won 14 games that year. Titans had won 10 games that year, I believe. Maybe they had won 9, actually. I think they won 9 that year. And once again, turnovers played a role. The Ravens had 3 turnovers. The Titans had 0. First game, 5-0. This game, 3-0. Not a good recipe, right? Now, the Titans didn't do much in terms of passing. Ryan Tannehill in that game was 7 of 14 for 88 yards. He did have 2 touchdowns, but 88 yards. Derrick Henry, who played for the Titans at that point, had 195 yards rushing. He absolutely murdered the Ravens defense. So in this game, it was a running game for the offense, or for the underdog, and turnovers. So 2 in a row where turnovers have played a huge role in an upset. Next, we go all the way back to 2012. The Broncos hosted the Baltimore Ravens. And the Broncos were 9-point favorites in this game. Where did it go? There we go. So this was a situation where turnovers played a role. It sounds like a broken record, but we're just going to look at the reality. The Broncos had 3 turnovers. The Ravens only had 1. So +2 for the Ravens, or -2 if you're a Broncos follower, which I hope none of you are. In that game, Joe Flacco was terrific. 331 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Ray Rice had 131 yards rushing. So again, effective rushing game for the visiting team and 0 or 1 turnovers. Peyton Manning in that game for the Broncos, he had 3 touchdown passes, but he had 2 picks. So he also fumbled the ball twice and lost one of those. Again, you guys are following so far what the kind of pattern is for upsets in these types of games. Before that is actually 2011. The Packers were 7.5-point favorites against the New York Giants in that game. Do I have that game open? Let's pull that game open. Packers against Giants. So in this game, Tom Coughlin against Mike McCarthy. Let's see. You want to guess anything that stands out about this game? The Packers as 8-point favorites had 4 turnovers. The Giants had 1. Aaron Rodgers had a pick, had a fumble. Ryan Grant had a fumble. John Kuhn had a fumble. So there were reasons that this turned out to be the way it did. And for what it's worth, it was a 7-point game going into the fourth quarter, even with, you know, some of those challenges. Let's keep going. We're going to look at the next one is 2010. We'll stop there at 2010, but it is the Patriots, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, 9.5-point home favorites against Mr. New York Jet. Where did he go? There it is. Rex Ryan. And this was kind of his peak win, his pinnacle win, I would say. And in this game, turnovers weren't a huge part of the story. It's the one game out of all these where it was, the Patriots did have one turnover and the Jets had none. So they did win the turnover battle, but these other ones have been +2, +3, +5 for the upset, you know, the underdog team. In this game, what was kind of the story? Well, you had a team in New York who was able to convert relatively well on third down, 6 out of 13. They rushed well. They had 120 yards on the ground, were able to control the ball with Sean Green and LaDainian Tomlinson. Mark Sanchez had 3 touchdowns passing and no picks. So he was very efficient through the air. And Tom Brady wasn't his best. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. And you had a very limited rushing game for the Patriots. No one had more than 46 yards on the ground for the Patriots. So this is one that, honestly, the Jets were ahead pretty much the whole way. And they were ahead 28-14 with 1:40 to go. So it was over, and the Patriots scored a touchdown with 24 seconds to go to make it a little more respectable. But this was a pretty big butt whooping by the Jets in New England in a game that they were heavy, heavy underdogs going into that one. So, you know, I think you can kind of see in those situations, what's the pattern that goes on in these games. And you definitely do not want, oh, wow, we got some news. You definitely don't want the turnovers battle to go the wrong way. All right, so we're getting some news breaking about the Rams. So let's share this as I'm going through it. The Rams cornerback, Akella Witherspoon, broke his scapula again. So he's going on injury reserve and is done for the season. That's a pretty big deal, given the fact that the Rams were down Darius Williams and Josh Wallace. They were playing some very deep down their list of cornerbacks. We'll see if they get either of those guys back this week. Matt Stafford has a sprain on his index finger. But McVay said he's good to go for Sunday's game against the Bears. Also, they're saying that Terrence Ferguson, the tight end who didn't play, and cornerback Josh Wallace should all have a chance to play. So that is mixed bag for them. You know, the fact that Stafford has a sprained finger, it's not the best news for the Rams, but he did lead that game-winning drive. He looked pretty much fine. And a week, he'll get an extra day of rest. He'll get treatment all week. I'm sure he'll be fine. So, you know, it gives the Rams maybe an excuse if they need it, but I don't think they're going to need it. I think they're going to waltz into the Chicago and absolutely blow them out. But you never know. Like, it to me, it feels destined that the Seahawks' path to the Super Bowl is going to be 49ers, Rams. Like, it's beshert. Like, it's what it should be. Like, that's how this should play out. So, you know what? Like, I would certainly would enjoy watching the Rams lose, especially because that'll be a Sunday game, and hopefully the Seahawks will have taken care of business and we can just enjoy whatever happens in that game. But I'm not expecting them to lose. I would enjoy it, but I'm not expecting it. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that as the week progresses. Now, I mean, people talk about Stafford and cold weather. I mean, Stafford played for Detroit, and I know that's an indoor stadium, but he played the Bears and the Packers and the Vikings, and he's got tons of cold weather experience. I just don't buy it that he's unable to perform well in bad weather. But you know what? Who knows? Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully he plays terribly. I would be fine with that. That was one kind of way of looking at this. I had looked at something else and have lost my screen where that was the case. Here we go. Okay. So the other one, I was looking at number one seeds. I was looking at number one seeds that were heavily favored. And then I wanted to look at number one seeds that had that were heavily favored and were playing divisional opponents. Okay, so that would mean this was the third time. That's a big part of this. You play a team three times, there's not a lot of secrets, right? And you know, it's a divisional opponent. There's not a lot of secrets to begin with. So what are the times when a number one seed was at least a 7-point favorite and faced a divisional opponent in the divisional round? Okay, you follow that? That's happened, that's happened six times since 1990, six times. And of those six times, the number one seed's only gone 4-2, which is interesting to me. They have won the majority of them, which is good, but they've lost twice. The last time a team lost in this situation was that Patriots-Jets game I mentioned when Rex Ryan went in there with Mark Sanchez and they won. In that case, the season series had been split 1-1 between the Patriots and the Jets. Guess what? Seahawks 49ers season series is split 1-1. The other upset was 2007 when the Cowboys went in to face the New York, the Cowboys hosted the New York Giants. They were 7.5-point favorites. The Cowboys had swept the season series 2-0. In that game, let me pull it open, make sure I got the right one here. Yes, in that game, this was Tom Coughlin against Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips was coaching the Cowboys at this point. Turnovers weren't a huge factor, although Dallas did lose the turnover battle 1-0. Tony Romo threw a pick in that game. You had kind of an efficient game from Eli Manning, only 163 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. The Cowboys actually very clearly outrushed the Giants in that game. Dallas had more yards, 336 to 230. Penalties played a pretty big role in that game. 11 penalties for the Cowboys for 84 yards. versus just 3 for 28 against the Giants. But I mean, if you look at this, I mean, if you look at the box score for this game, it looks like a game Dallas should have won. They held the ball 36 minutes to 23 for the Giants. They were 10 of 16 on third down. Again, they outrushed them. They outgained them, had more first downs than them. It's kind of a shocker. And so it makes me wonder, like, was there a, was there some sort of special teams play? When I'm looking through it here, it just looks like the Giants played better at the end, and maybe that one turnover is enough in that one. So, you know, I just wanted to kind of check in with how these games have gone. For what it's worth, the most recent time this happened, where this, it was a number one seed playing a divisional opponent, and it was at least a 7-point spread, was 2022, when the Eagles hosted the Giants, and the Eagles, you know, beat the brakes off the Giants 38-7. I will say a decent number of these games were close. So blowouts are not common, even in these games where you're 7+ point favorites and the number one seed. So 38-7, 24-17, 28-21, 21-17, 30-11, and 44-34. So out of the six times this has happened since 1990, one, two, three of them have been within one score. Two of them have been more than a 10-point victory. All right. So has happened that you get an upset, but not the most common thing in that situation. All right, let me check out some super chats here in a second. Before I do, we've got a new deal for you guys. I'm really, really excited about it. It's a brand that Jeff Simmons probably loves. I think they're based up there in British Columbia. It's called Duer, D-U-E-R. And they make really great clothes. In fact, they specialize in making jeans. And I'm actually wearing some right now. I got to admit something, like, unlike other people that do jeans ads, I do not have great jeans. So I'm not going to claim that. We come from the shorter, stockier soccer build. So I've got big legs. It doesn't always make it easy to find jeans that fit. And so when I ordered these blindly, I fully expected them to come in the mail and be like, send them back. Gotta get the size that fits me. They fit like amazing. They are so comfortable. My wife was like, those look great. And I was like, they feel great. What's going on? Like, I honestly have never had that experience where I mail ordered, you know, something from a company for jeans ever. I wouldn't even think to do that. But these were fantastic. In fact, I'm supposed to show you them. Not that this is my favorite thing to do, but this is a look at my Duer jeans. I love them. They're great. And you guys can get your own pair of Duer jeans or other stuff from Duer at shopduer.com/hawk, H-A-W-K. Shop Duer, so shop duer.com/hawk. H-A-W-K, and that will give you 15% off. 15% off your order at Duer. They're interested in trying to, you know, get more into the Northwest, and really happy to be working with them. We're going to be working with them throughout the playoffs, and I got a great shirt from them, too. I'll probably be wearing that at some other point. I love it. Everything I've got so far is really, really good. So give them a shot. Shop Duer. duer.com/hawk, get your 15% off. I'm wearing them. I would not normally be wearing jeans in the morning, honestly. I'd be wearing, like, you know, shorts or something. But these are super cozy. Highly recommend. All right. So yeah, someone says you're not getting a 2-page spread from me. Yes, you're not. Nobody wants to see that. I think my calling as a jeans model is not real, for sure. Okay. So let me get to some of these super chats, cause there are a bunch. It's Zeke YT says, sick of these whiner fans in my mentions on X when they pointed out the hypocrisy of their dog shit faithful fan base. We win 30-10. I'm done being cautious with my fanhood. F the 49ers. Go win it all. I love it, Zeke, man. Like, I love this from 49ers fans where they're like, it's hilarious that Seahawks fans have to try to protect their seats from 49ers fans. We don't have that problem. You can't even sell out your own stadium for a week 18 game for the number one seed. You've got worse problems for the quote faithful, like whatever. Like, the fact is that Seahawks fans care enough about this team to be taking steps to try to make sure that we don't allow 49ers fans in. And because 49ers fans have super low IQs, including all my friends who are 49ers fans, who I'm already joking with about, I'll tell you that in a second. But you are going to see 49ers red in the 100 level behind the 49ers bench. You're gonna, I'm telling you that. That's where the, by the way, that's where the television cameras are looking. They're based on the home side, so they look at the visitor's side. Why are you going to see 49ers fans there? Because those seats, a lot of them are personal seat licenses that are owned by ticket brokers, and this team cannot reclaim those seats. They've tried to, and they're working through legal. I've talked to the team about this. They're working through legal options to reclaim those tickets from brokers, but the brokers own a license to those seats. They're not season ticket holders. They are just profiteering. So they will sell to the highest bidder. The highest bidder is most likely going to be 49ers fans who are desperate to find tickets for this game and have their Bay Area tech money to spend on it. It's going to happen. So there are going to be 49ers fans in the stadium. Don't question that. But we want as few as possible, and we want Seahawks fans to get this experience as much as possible. So that's why HB Ticks can be a useful resource. Lumberjackington said, I know you've already had so many great guests this season. Is there any chance of getting Lofa to Tupu? P.S. If time permits and you'd like to read the letter review I wrote the other day, please do. Letter review. Is this the one that you sent me an email? I don't know if this is the same person. It was a very nice email. I read it to the team or sent it over to the rest of the crew. So I really appreciate it, man, if that was you. MLC D4RT says, Hawks fan from Ohio. Been watching your show since preseason. So proud of the team. Thanks for your coverage this season. Go Hawks. Beat the Niners. Man, appreciate you. It's so gratifying to pull Hawks fans together from all over the planet on this show. It's gone so much beyond what I expected was possible. And if you haven't already liked and subscribed, join over at patreon.com/hawkblogger, join the Discord, join as a club level or higher member on YouTube. That also gets you access to the Discord server. Only rules are you got to be a Seahawks fan. You got to be friendly and kind. You know, if you can do those things, you can be part of this community. If you can't, you're asked to leave. And if you're not leaving, then you're just kicked. So that's basically what we're trying to do. Build a really friendly, charitable, giving, kind, passionate, smart Seahawks fan base. Fan community, I should say. Dwayne PDX, any appetite to host or coordinate a pregame event for this community near the stadium? If not, maybe Saturday gathering if when we move to the NFC Championship. I've been thinking about this. So I went and saw Daniel Tosh on Friday in Seattle. It was so funny. He is so funny. I love that guy. Anyway, and it made me miss our live show. I really do want to do another live show. And I don't know if I'm going to pull one off this week. But if the Seahawks make the NFC Championship, then I think we will try to find a place that will host us and try to do a live event. May not be possible in that kind of time, but I'm going to see if we can do it. I think we could get 500 plus people to go. I do. And I think it would be fun. It would be a ticketed event. So, you know, it would not be free because I think otherwise it would be just craziness, but I want to see if it's possible. But no promises. I can only do what we can make happen. And as you can see, it is like, it's a one-man crew making all this logistics go on with guests and press conferences and everything else. So it does get a little hectic at times. Hawks fan Matt Mann, who's been a member for 21 months. Look at that, 21 months. For a potential rematch with the Rams, do you think our defensive showing in the first half last time was an aberration or something to be concerned about? I lean much more towards aberration, but not all the way, because Sean McVay, Matt Stafford, Puka Nacua, Devontae Adams, that offensive line, they're legit. They're very, very good. Don't get it twisted. Just because I don't want them to win or I don't like them doesn't mean my eyes are closed or that I've got Seahawks colored glasses on when evaluating these teams. That's a really, really good unit. And it's going to take the best from the best to beat them. Like, it just is. That's the reality. There's no easy path where it's like, oh, no, that was an aberration. And the next time the Seahawks will just hold them to like 7 points and it'll be easy. Like, no, that's not how it works. So the games are going to be tough. There's a lot of evidence to say this game against the 49ers will be tougher than I think it should be. I'm not prepared emotionally for that because I think the Seahawks should be significantly better than this 49ers team in this game. I think the Seahawks should win this game going away. Doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. And evidence, as we're just going through, there's these cases where most often that doesn't work. So even where the team has big advantages, they don't always show up in these games. Their stress, their high pressure moments, you know, refs make bad calls, ball bounces a weird way, special teams. Like, how many times did the Panthers punt returner tried to catch the punt with his face mask? Like, stuff happens. So all these games are going to be tough. There's no way around that. All right. I think there was one more super chat that just came in from Jacoby. Says, going to the divisional game this weekend, please 12s, these whiners need to pay the tax for coming to Lumen. Go Hawks. Here's my take. Niners fans want to come. Let them. Like, let them. Let them spend their money to fly up to here, to Seattle, to buy tickets for this game, to show up with their jerseys and be super excited, and let the Seahawks beat the brakes off them again. Like, let them have the worst possible start to 2026 that they could, which is having the Seahawks end their season. You know what? Like, they will be quiet, just not quite yet. They'll be noisy this week. They'll be in chat. They will be obnoxious at the game. They may be violent given some of their history. Give them their space and just revel in what hopefully is going to be a big win for the Seahawks. Let me check Venmo super chats. I appreciate everyone that's been doing Venmo lately. That's super nice of you. And sorry, I got something in my eye. Venmo super chats at venmo.com/Brian-Nemhauser. 100% of those super chats go to me in the show, as opposed to 70% via YouTube. YouTube super chats are amazing as well, so don't worry about that. They're great. But 100% of the proceeds over here on Venmo go to us, which is really nice. We got three. And by the way, if you want to know how to do this, you know, you just go to Venmo and leave a comment with your Venmo, and I treat that as a super chat. So Joey Hamilton says, how poetic would this season be if our trip to the Super Bowl includes beating the Niners and the Rams? Yeah, I mean, that's very likely the path. Beat the Niners in their own stadium for the number one seed. Get a bye week. Beat the Niners in the divisional round. Beat the Rams in the NFC championship. And then take your pick. Beat the Broncos in the Super Bowl. Beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I mean, my personal preference would be for a Seahawks-Bills Super Bowl. I think that would be a great storyline. Sam Darnold and Josh Allen are good friends, golfing buddies. I would love for those two to be going at each other in the big game. And while I'm always going to be wanting the Seahawks to win and will always be crushed when they lose. If it was the Bills that won, there'd be a little solace in that. Like, I really do root for the Bills generally, and that fan base deserves something good to happen eventually. It was interesting to see Trevor Lawrence and the Jags, who were the darlings of the nerd crew as they really finished strong after the Jacoby Myers trade and other things. They lost to a pretty, I think, very flawed Bills team. And Trevor Lawrence was, again, a big part of the reason with some turnovers. So, yeah. All right. Venkat Iyer says, thanks for setting up HB Ticks and for all the awesome work you do for us Hawks fan via your Hawk Blogger site and Twitter. Well, thanks, man. Appreciate that. Kyle Bulthuis, B-U-L-T-H-U-I-S. I'm sorry I butchered that, Kyle, but I was the guy who said, spoke too soon on Twitter. Wasn't attempting to score a win. Just a note about how crazy football can be. Keep up the great coverage. Rather, you not read this on the podcast. Sorry, Kyle. Just goes to show you I don't read ahead on these things. Sorry, Kyle. Didn't mean to out you, dude. My bad. That's kind of funny, man. I'm going to be laughing about that one for a while. Okay. So let's set the stage for a schedule the rest of the week. 3:30 today, Mike McDonald. God, that's so funny. Mike McDonald is... Sorry. Mike McDonald's going to do his press conference. So I'll be going down to the VMAC talking to the coach. I don't think we have the schedule for the rest of the week, but what I can say is that we can look at the schedule from really the last time the Seahawks played the 49ers, because guess what? That was a Saturday game as well. And it was a Saturday 5 o'clock game, which is what I think this game will be. That week, what they did, 3:30 Monday press conference, like they're doing now. Then they did nothing on Tuesday. They had midday press conferences on Wednesday, midday press conferences on Thursday, and then a middle of the day press conference on Friday before they went to San Francisco, Santa Clara. This week, they're not traveling anywhere. So I think they'll probably do the same schedule, would be my guess. They just did this. Pretty standard week for them. And we won't get injury reports until Wednesday. So we'll find out there whether or not things change. But that's kind of the schedule there. The schedule for this show, again, we'll be live with Matt Hasselbeck tomorrow at 8 a.m. That's going to be fun. Can't wait. Seahawks Collective, by the way, will be Tuesday at 5. Some of those folks are going to have doer clothes as well, and I'm sure they're going to look way better in their doer stuff than I do, if you want more evidence of how cool the clothes are. And then Wednesday, we will do first look. I haven't talked to Grant yet. I'll reach out to him, and we'll figure out that time. And Wednesday, I think it's as of now, I think we're going to do Real Hawk Talk Wednesday evening. And that should be the OG crew: Nathan Ernst, Evan Hill, Jeff Simmons. We're going to get the OG crew for the rest of the playoffs. We're going to roll with that crew. Thursday, Brian Baldinger, potentially Mina Kimes, and Brett Coleman. So a lot of guests on Thursday. Friday, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Dave Bowling, Mike Sando. And then Saturday, we'll probably do Seahawks Saturday in the morning with Jeff. And then there's one more person who I was just going back and forth with today. You'll be excited. If this works out, you'll be excited. It'll be a fun conversation, and it's the perfect person to talk to this week. So we'll see if we can pull all of that off. And folks, I just want to say again, genuinely, I'm really, really grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for all of you to share the experience of being a Seahawks fan. I'm grateful that you saw the vision for this show that I wanted as well, which is just a place for us to hang out in the mornings that just talks Seahawks all the time, every single day, pretty much 365 days a year. And I'm grateful that you guys are cool, smart, kind people. Like, chat is almost always funny and friendly and well moderated by our moderators. So your generosity has made a lot of this possible. Just really, really grateful for all of you. Big Mike with this. Come on, Brian. Annabelle would look better in a potato sack than the rest of you guys on the collective. There's no question about that. AB, she's got everything she needs, not to mention youth in her favor. Great genes, unlike me. No offense, mom or dad. But Mike Dugar also way cooler than me. Like, there's just no question Mike is a cooler guy than me. Not going to try to twist that at all. All of them are going to look cooler than me, but that's okay. I do want to remind you, if you haven't already, grab the Sleeper app. It's great. It's a great place to keep in touch with whatever football you're watching or other sports, NBA, baseball, NHL, all those sports are there. And you can hang out with friends and chat there in their real-time chat. So, and now if you can use code HAWKS, you can get up to $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions do apply. So see Sleeper's terms of use for details. Currently operational over 25 states. Check out Sleeper today. And speaking of sleep, make sure if you haven't already, I really like using sleep masks to be able to sleep better. I got a great deal on one for you. Hey, folks. I'm guessing you could see me, but I cannot see you because I am wearing the best sleep mask out there on the market, the Manta Sleep Mask. It is 100% blackout. I cannot see a thing. And one of the cool things with this model, this is the Manta Sound Sleep Mask. It's got these really cool Bluetooth speakers that adjust right over your ears, connects to your phone. You can play music, you can play white noise, whatever you like. There could be a 49ers fan right next to you. Doesn't matter. And let's face it, sometimes during the football season, you just need to recover. You need to take a nap. You need to block out the world. The Manta Sleep Mask is the best thing to do it. And if you use my code HAWKS, you will get 10% off your purchase over at Manta Sleep. Don't make the same mistake I did. Don't look at other sleep masks. Manta Sleep is the best. Buy it. You won't regret it.
It's true. I had this pile of sleep masks that I wasn't a sleep mask guy initially. It was probably like 5 years ago. I discovered like how much I slept better when I wore a sleep mask. Cause you kind of look like an idiot wearing a sleep mask. Let's be honest, but, no one cares when you're sleeping. So I tried a bunch and then I got this Manta sleep mask and I just tossed the rest. It's so much better. It's a great, well-designed and, use promo code HAWKS, get a deal on it. You'll sleep better too. All right. We got a super chat here before we go from Lethal Monkling. What's your genuine take on Sam Darnold? I think he's shown enough to be viewed better than Geno, but I hate that he has to still prove so much slander. I mean, here's the thing. Sam Darnold deserves skepticism. It's real. Like he deserves people to be skeptical that he can protect the football because he has turned the ball over a ton. It's just, that's reality. There's nothing I can say that would change that. That's just the reality. Now, this notion of him in big games is bullshit. I've disproven that multiple times. He has played well in big games. He hasn't played well in every big game, but he has played well. Go back and watch his games with the Vikings against the Packers last year, against the Seahawks last year in prime time in a game that mattered. Like, he's played well in plenty of big games. But playoffs, it's a different thing. It's a different animal. And he hasn't really had that experience significantly yet. He had one last year. So what? Like, that's one game. And guess what? Justin Herbert, who's by every ball knower out there, a top five quarterback, maybe a top three quarterback. He is just dreamy and like, oh my God, he's everything I ever wanted in a quarterback. That guy's gotten his ass kicked in the playoffs and played like shit. Like, he threw like four picks last year. And yes, the offensive line for them against the Patriots wasn't good and fine, but neither was Sam Darnold's offensive line last year against the Rams. And no one's like gives him that out. They're just like, oh, he sucks in the playoffs. Like, come on, man. Jordan Love's mostly sucked in the playoffs, and everyone, you know, glazes Jordan Love. You can kind of go on. Jalen Hurts. I had a guy in my freaking comments all offseason for like a month arguing back and forth with me about Jalen Hurts as a top five quarterback. I'm like, what are you smoking? Did you see him in the playoffs last year? He's like, yeah, did you see the Super Bowl? Yeah, I saw the Super Bowl. He was awesome in the Super Bowl. That was probably the best game of his life. He also threw for like 100 yards in the other playoff games. He was terrible. And he was terrible against the Rams. Like, he's awful. He's not a top five quarterback. I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback. So you can kind of go through this list. And by the way, you want to know how Patrick Mahomes has looked in the playoffs when he's had a bad offensive line? He loses too. So I think that part of the storyline is bunk. But Sam's got to prove a lot. And I thought the game against the 49ers was a good start. It was a good professional performance. He's got to stack those. He's got to stack those. And we'll get into that a little bit more this week. But that is my general take on the Sam Darnold situation. So everybody, appreciate it. I'll be back with you. Maybe there'll be more news that breaks. Maybe I'll be back on. Probably not. Until I see you tomorrow, have a great rest of your Monday.